This week's parasha, Parashas Devarim, also known as Shabbos Chazoin, Kapitel Aleph, Pasuk Hey, Be'eder HaYarden, Be'eretz Moav, Hoyel Moshe, Be'eretz HaTorah HaZoin Shleimor. Rashi says, Hoyel Hiskel K'mahin Nehalti, that the Moshe Rabbeinu was saying over the Torah, he was explaining it, Be'eretz HaTorah, V'shivim Loshen Pirshalahem. Moshe Rabbeinu told over, said the Torah over in 70 languages. Now, why specifically over here now is Moshe Rabbeinu saying over the Torah in 70 languages? That's question number one. We also know that Parshas Devarim is always laying before Tisha B'Av. We have Parshas Devarim before Tisha B'Av and the Sanan is Shabbos Nachamu. What are we supposed to learn from Parshas Devarim about to have a tikkun for what's coming up Tisha B'Av? The Ksav Sefer says that he gives two different answers to the first question that we had of why Moshe Rabbeinu was saying over the Torah in 70 languages. He says that people were saying, you know, we traveled through the Midbar. In the Midbar, a place where we're not in Eretz Yisrael, we're not in our land, that's where we need the Torah. But when we're in Eretz Yisrael, we don't need the Torah. No more Torah. Chas v'shalom came, let's get rid of the Torah. Now that we're in Eretz Yisrael, that's it. It was just for the Midbar. We needed to have some sort of structure. Once in Eretz Yisrael, we don't need it anymore. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going to teach you to use the Torah in 70 languages, that the Torah is relevant to all times and all places. Tzav Sefer says, others were saying, even one step further, that we understand that the Torah is in the Midbar and in Eretz Yisrael. When we're in Eretz Yisrael, when we're in our land, that's where the Torah, which we have to listen to the Torah. But after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, when after Klal Yisrael was sent into Golus, now they're not in their land anymore. There's no more Torah, they don't have to keep the Torah. Maybe when they'll go back after, but in B'yas Mashiach, but until then there's no Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, I'm going to teach you now that all 70 languages, no matter where you go, in any corner of the world, no matter what language, I mean, you might think that there's more than 70 languages, but Chazal tell us that all languages come from these 70. Anything else is a language, a knockoff of one of these 70 languages. And the point is that the Torah, no matter where you are in the world, if you're in the smallest in the corner of the world, it doesn't matter, the Torah is always relevant, you always have to keep the Torah. The Rechaim HaKadosh, Pasuk Ches, Re'ei Nasati Lifneichem Es Aret. Re'ei, you should see Nasati Lifneichem, that I am placing in front of you Es Aret. We're talking about the Eretz Yisrael. He says, he asks a question. Re'ei is a Lashon Yochid. Lifneichem is a Lashon Rab. Why is the Pasuk switch from Re'ei, each individual should see Lifneichem, to all of you? Why is he switch in the middle? So the Rechaim HaKadosh says that Re'ei means seeing Eretz Yisrael. Every individual sees the same Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, a Lashon Yochid of everyone is the same. There could be 600,000 people looking at the land, but they're like one person, they all see the same thing. However, Lifneichem, what I'm placing in front of you, each person could take out of what he wants, what he sees really in Eretz Yisrael. Every person on his madrega, what is the meaning of Eretz Yisrael? What does Eretz Yisrael represent? What does the Torah represent? That the person is that every person has to work on his own madrega of the godless of understanding of what is Eretz Yisrael and what is the Rebbeinu Shalom gave us. The Binyahu says, the Gemara in Brochus Daf Hei says, quoted Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that there were three matanis that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave Klal Yisrael with Yisurim. The three are Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. So the Ben Yoh asks, the Ben Yoh is a Ben Ishchai. So the Ben Yoh asks, he says, why is it that these three things were given with Yisurin? It comes through struggle and pain. Why is that? Why can't the Ben Yoh give it to us in a Nachas Ruach, in a nice way? It's like, they're beautiful gifts, but yeah, it's got to come through Yisurin. Why is that? So the Ben Yoh explains that the reason why we're worthy for these things is through the Yisurin. If the Yisurin are not there, then we're not worthy of it. What does that mean? That means the Baruch Hashem gave us a Torah. We have a Torah. If we don't appreciate the Torah and we learn it Kein Chas Hashem like a science or something else, we're not appreciating the gift. If we have Yisurin and Torah, it means that you're hard of it. That could be Yisurin and Torah also. You're pained over not understanding of Pshat. Were you willing to learn no matter what, no matter how tired you are? That's on a much lower level of Yisurin, perhaps. And Eretz Yisrael, what you have to go through in Mokama, and to get to Eilam Haba, you're only worthy of getting into Eilam Haba through the Yisurin. The Baruch Hashem gives Yisurin, the Baruch Hashem gives Nisrenis, so you should be worthy for these three Matanas. They're tremendous Matanas, and Matanas are G'doylos. But how are we worthy of them? It's only through Yisurin. It says in the Nachal Eshko, and it says in Eicha, Kapitel Aleph Pasuk Ches, Chet Chote Yerushalayim Al Kein Lanida Haisa. It's Klal Yisrael. Yerushalayim is referring to Klal Yisrael here. They did a great Chet, and therefore they became a wanderer. He says, what's the double lashon of Chet Chote? So Nachal Eshkol explains, Chet Chote means that there's two different things that they did wrong. Number one, when a person, let's say he does a Maisa, he does Avodah Zarah Chas Hashem. That was the first Avodah. That was the Maisa. But before that, that was the first one, but always before that, the Machshava. That's the one thing that we could control. We have control over Machshava. The Baruch Hashem can allow, when someone has a Machshava, the Baruch Hashem can allow a person then to take action based on his Machshava. But a person controls his own Machshava. That's the one thing the Baruch Hashem gives us 100% control over. And a person has a Machshava L'ra, that Machshava L'ra, that also is an Aveira. So, Chet Chot Yerushalayim, Tu Chatoim, one Chet that they did an Aveira of Machshava, and a second Chet that they did of Maisa. It says in the Pri Tzadik, and it says in Eicha, Kapitel Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, Kol Reitzvei Yisiguha Bein HaMetzorim. He says that during the 3 weeks, he says it's actually 22 days from Shiva Asav Tammuz until Tisha B'Av, anyone that runs after the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's easy to catch the Rabbeinu Shalom Kain. He says it's 22 days representing the Chav Beis Oisius of the Aleph Beis, the Aleph through the Tav. He says is that each day we're supposed to work on being misakin one of the Oisius that represents the entire Kol HaTorah Kula. The Aleph of Anoichi, Shivasa B'Tamas, and the Tav of Tama V'Necha Basiyin, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam did a tremendous favor for us. That really we were roy to be destroyed. But the Baruch Hashem did a tremendous chesed for Klal Yisrael, and the Baruch Hashem was tamah v'enech. He took out his anger, Cain, of what Klal Yisrael did. He took it out on wood and stones and destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. That was a tremendous chesed of the Baruch Hashem. But it's something that we have to work on. The tough maybe also represents on Tisha B'Av, also represents the Torah HaKadosh and Shlemus. When you have the complete Torah, that we have to make sure that we keep the entire Torah. The Mishnah Sibaran says, he says, very big pshat. Gemara Chayyid Avtes says, many know this Gemara, that someone who learns and chazes something 100 times is not the same, is no comparison to 101. He says, what does that mean? Hey, you want to say it's one more. What about the difference between 99 and 100? The Gemara says not such a big difference. Or even a 70 to 90 or 105 to 190. Those are not big differences. 100 to 101 is this huge difference. The Baron says, what happened? What's from 100 to 101? The Baron says that the first 100 times a person learns a Shtickle Gemara, every time there's a koyach, there's a chiddush. The person learns it and he gets there's a geschmack. There's a, oh, I have a new chiddush. And each time there's a havas a chiddush. Oh, Meridik, came up with a new chiddush. And those that keep on learning it, you see, every time you learn a new chiddush. The Baron says, the Gemara is telling us, when you get to the 101, there's no more chiddush. There's Shaitan Baron, we're on that level. There's no more chiddush. So why are you learning that 101 time? Ahavas HaTorah. Now it's not for your intellect that I want to come up with a good pshat, or oh, I found a new pshat. That HaTorah perhaps not lishma, not complete lishma. When a person learns that 101st time, he takes it to a complete new level. He's now learning Torah for Ahavas HaTorah and Ahavas HaTorah only, not for Ahavas HaKadosh anymore. And that's the merit of Yisrael of 101. The Tzvi Tzadik says, when it says in the Bamidbar, the beginning of Parshas Matos, Vaydav Moshe Hashem Matos L'nei Yisrael Leimor, Zeh HaDavar, Asher Tziva Hashem. This is what the Davar, Asher Tziva Hashem, the Rosh Hashem commanded. He says the Gematria of Tziva is 101. Referring to the 101 times that a person is supposed to chazer over the Terech Teisha. It says in the Klei Yokar, Kapitel Dal Posik Tes, we're not supposed to forget these things. Zok de Klayokar. The gematria of Zohar, to remember, is 227. The gematria of Shochach, to forget, is 328. You can do the math. It works. He says this, if you learn 101 times, what you do is you elevate that Zohar of 227, you add 101 to that, and you get 328. Now you're able to compete against the Shochach and knock out the Shochach. So if you want to know how you're never going to forget your Torah, learn 101 times. 101 times together with the Zohar 227, you're going to be able to counterbalance and counteract and have a takana for the forgetting the gematria of Shochach. Tisha B'Av is coming. The Yisrael of Parshas Devarim tells us to learn the Torah. We have to continue to chazer the Torah. We have to learn what it means to really learn Torah. Ahavas HaTorah, not Ahavas HaChiddush, like Devarim says. That's the reason why we have Devarim always before. That's the Yisrael of Be'er HaTorah HaZois. In all 70 languages, the Torah is relevant at all times and all places. The Churban Bayis happened because while they learned the Torah HaKadosh, the Baruch Hu B'Torah Tchila didn't make a bracha. What does that mean? They didn't appreciate the Torah. They were learning it, maybe as an intellect. After I understand it, I'll make a bracha. Before I understand it, maybe I won't like it so much. Chas v'sholom. That's why we always have Parshas Devarim before, and that's why it's in Be'er HaTorah HaZois, in all 70 languages, Torah is always and forever. A little bit later in the parasha, the Pasuk says, Kapitel Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem Yosef Aleichem Kochem Elef Pa'amim V'Yivorech Eschem Kasher Dibor Lachem. Rashi says, Yosef Aleichem Kochem Elef Pa'amim. We know, he's going to tell us, I'll say it outside first, that Avraham Avinu has promised endless bracha for his children. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, let's bench Chayso 1,000 times. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu limiting this bracha? Why is he only giving it 1,000 times? Zok Rashi, Ma'u shur v'ayvorach eslam kasher dibor lachem. Elu amr lei Moshe, ata noisin kitzur l'bricha yisenu. You're giving a boundaries. You're not giving an unlimited, infinite bracha. You're giving a kotzur, a specific bracha that has boundaries. Kraftiyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avraham Hashem, yuchal ish l'monos, l'nois, no one's going to be able to count it. The bracha is going to be infinite. What pshat? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu doing this? Amar lahem zume shelihi. And he's quoting a Sefer Rashi that Moshe said, this is not what the Rebbeinu Shalom promised. This is a bracha from me. Avul hu yivarach esam kasher dibor lachem. But Rebbeinu Shalom taka bench klai Yisrael kasher dibor lachem, which is infinite. So Rashi is explaining why it's not a stira, what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying of kachay alach amin versus Rebbeinu Shalom is infinite. But the question remains, why did Moshe Rabbeinu give a kotzer a bracha that was kotzer? He saw he wanted to take a lesson from the Rebbeinu Shalom. Rebbeinu Shalom gave Klal Yisrael a bracha that was infinite. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu also give them a bracha that was infinite? Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that if you're careful, if you're medayik in the words of the pasuk, it says Hashem Elokei Avoseichem Yosef Aleichem Kochem Elef Pa'amim. If you wanted to say that the bracha should be 1,000 times the 600,000, or the 600,000 in Klai, so it's only 1,000 times that, the pasuk should have said, Yosef Aleichem Elef Pa'amin Kochem. They should be blessed, they should have 1,000 times like that of 600,000. Pidegis, that's not what it says. It says, Yosef Aleichem Kochem Elef Pa'amin. What does that mean? He says that you gotta do like this. You have to do 600,000 times 1 is 1.2 million. Now you gotta do the 1.2 million times 2 is 2.4 million. Now you take the 2.4 million and times it by 3 and you keep on going. And for those mathematicians, when you get to, when you do that 1,000 times, keep on taking that number, that compound number, it's ain infinite. Now they're saying Rebbe Kivega. It's not quite, maybe it's not infinite, but it's not Mishkein infinite. They're saying Rebbe Kivega. The Yalkut Yehuda says that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu gave them such a bracha is because if you notice in the Torah, we always, the highest number the Torah ever uses is the number of Elif. So he wasn't trying, Moshe Rabbeinu was not Chas V'Shalom trying to limit the bracha. He was just using the largest denomination, saying is that Klal Yisrael should be benched like 1,000. Which is the highest number. We always use it, even River is 600,000, but 1,000 is always the number. You never see any number higher than 1,000. You say Shnayim of 600,000, which we know is 1.2 million, but 1,000 is the highest denominator. It says in the Pirkei Nisan that Kol HaMisabel Yerushalayim, we know Zeicher V'Roya B'Simchasa. Everyone who is Misabel, who mourns over the loss of Yerushalayim, of the Beis Hamikdash, he's roya b'simchasa. He sees its simcha. He says, what does it mean roya b'simchasa? Roya is a lashon hayve, which means is anyone that's misabel who mourns over the loss of the Beis Hamikdash, he now roya b'simchasa means he sees it now. If you wanted to say he will see it in the future by the Bias Goyah when we had the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt, it's just a dira b'simchasa. That's a future tense. Roya is a present tense. So what's chat? So he quotes from Chaim Volozhin, who we know said by Yaakov Avinu when he thought Yosef was not alive. He was sad until he remained sad until he got Yosef back at all those years. He wasn't there to have the Shechina with him. He didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. But what does it mean? Why didn't he forget? Because when a person is alive, you don't forget. When a person is not alive anymore, that's when the Shechicha, that's when the person could forget. So he says it that Yerushalayim is like a person. And as long as we believe that Yerushalayim is going to be rebuilt, Yerushalayim is still really here on some level. It's not like it's gone, it's not here. Yerushalayim is here. If we believe that, then Roya B'Simchasa now, we're going to see right now, that's the Nechama of Roya B'Simchasa, that some of the Chalmas Abel, if I mourn over the loss of the Beis Hamikdash, that means I realize that the Beis Hamikdash is still here. Because if it wasn't here, and there's no shayches to it, it's dead, it's not alive, then I wouldn't be able to be misabel. So that's where the person would be able to be now, roya b'simchasa, see the simcha now, that Yetzir Hashem will be zoicha to the geula shleima to have the third Beis Hamikdash. But right now the simcha too. The Be'ach Moshe takes it a little bit further. Yud Gimel Iker, we say, Ani Mamin Demuna Shleima, B'Vias HaMashiach. And then we say something interesting. We don't say any of the Mali Mammons. The Afal Pisha Yisma Meya Im Kol Zeach HaKaloi. Even though we're waiting for so long, he's not here, I'm still yearning for it. What does that mean? An Ani Mammon means is I believe it's maybe as a Mashiach. What's the second part? So some answer that it's a good question, you're right, you really shouldn't have said it, but we need Chizuk. It's so long, it's thousands of years that they were in Golos, and to say, I believe in Mashiach, it's sort of, you get dejected, you know, yeah. So they want to put into the animamim that chizuk, and even though it's taking a long time, nonetheless, I know it's coming. But he says different pshat. It says in Mishlei, Kapitel Chav Zayin Pasuk Yutes, Kemayim aponim leponim kein lev ha'odom la'odom. Just like when you look in the water, the reflection of your face you see back in the water, so too the heart of a person is like a person. The same Yisoid that we said from the same Yisrael that we just said from the Pirkei Nisan. He's saying the same Yisrael using this Vartan Mishlei, that a person would not be able to be Mekabel Tanchumin, you would not be able to be consoled over a loss if it wasn't here. Kimayim upon it is that when it says in the Pasuk as well, Tzama Nafshi Elikim L'Keil Choy, if we have a yearning that we want to have with thirsty for the Ribbono Shel, that's when the Ribbono Shel reflects back to us. So when a person believes, the Tzama Nafshi Elikim, my soul thirsts for Hashem, we want L'Keil Choy, the living the Ribbono Shel, L'Keil Choy, he's living today. Kimayim Panam Apanam Kein Leva Adam Adam. The same, if I believe that the Ribbono Shel is here, the Beis Hamikdash is here, it's all alive, then that's the way that's going to feel to me. It gets reflected back to me. It says in Aderes Elio that with Klai Yisrael is Medama Tekei Chovim, to stars. Why stars? He says stars have two things. It's a Medrash in Dvar Rabba that, number one, it's not possible to count the stars. Klai Yisrael is infinite. They have Bracha that's infinite and Klai Yisrael is infinite. He says, but more than that, the stars, it is called the Moloch. They rule over the world. There are just so many of them. They're from one end of the earth to the other. The stars, the moon is only one place. The sun is only one place. But the stars, because there's so many, that they rule from one side of the earth to the other side of the earth, to the world, not the earth, the world. So he says is that if someone of a shemir teira, then we take mizeicha to be Moloch over the entire world. Perhaps we can explain. Moshe Rabbeinu was not Chas Hashem trying to limit the bracha. He was telling Klal Yisrael, 1,000, the highest numerical number, the denominator that we use. But what does it mean? It means it's Kemayim Panim Al Panim. Do you want to know what the bracha is? You want to know how we're going to have it Nechama? It's how we show the Ribbono Shel Olam. The way we represent ourselves, the way we show the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's how he's going to reflect us. So the bracha is maybe limited if we don't do our job. But if we do our job, then the bracha is infinite because the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to reflect it back. We do two shtickles from Shlomo McCluger. One in the Mois Hashukim, it's a pirish on Eicha, Pasuk Yud Beis, Kapitel Al Pasuk Yud Beis. Ve'aleichem kol oyvei derech habitru'u, em yesh machayv kemachayv yasha'ur lali. He says, the way Eicha says, may not befall you all who pass by this road, behold and see if there is any pain like my pain which befell me. What does it mean? He says unbelievable words. He already explained this, he said many times. If the Ribbono Shel Olam was just punishing Klal Yisrael for their actual avarice that they did, they wouldn't have such harsh punishments. It would have been enough to have a much lighter einish punishment. Like the other nations of the world, they have more chatam than Klal Yisrael, and they get these lighter punishments. From the einish that Klal Yisrael gets, they get a second punishment. What's the second punishment? The fact that they got a punishment, that was an avera. What's the avera? The Ribbono Shel had a tremendous tsar when Klal Yisrael went tsar. So because Klal Yisrael caused the Ribbono Shel Olam to punish them, they caused the Ribbono Shel Olam to be in tsar, and now they get another punishment. He says that when the other nations of the world see Klal Yisrael getting so many punishments, they say, oh, look, now's my chance. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to get rid of Klal Yisrael. Look how he's punishing them so harshly. They're going to be out of the Ribbono Shel Olam's way. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to want anything to do with them. The Pasuk says, "Punk faket." The fact that we're getting so many punishments—that's our nechama. That we're children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's so harsh. You say, "Wow, why is the Ribbono Shel Olam doing this?" But faket, that's the nechama, because the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us, and therefore, when he has to punish us for the first chet that we do, then his Ribbono Shel Olam is tsar because we've made the Ribbono Shel Olam in tsar only because he loves us, therefore it causes the second punishment. As opposed to the Umas HaOlam, when they do something, the Ribbono Shel Olam has to punish them. He punishes them and he's not the tsar. It says in Yeshaya and Atayah, Shalos Chazoyin, Bonim Gidalti Ve'Emamti Ve'Hem Pashubi. When Hashem raised children, they raised them up and they still Pesha in him. The mitzvahs of the Torah are not like the commands of a regular king of a boss of Adam. When a king makes rules, he makes them for his own benefit. That's why he makes rules. The reason why we have mitzvahs is for our good. If he would be doing it for his own purpose, then we would be slaves to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But because the Ribbono Shel Olam has kavana for our good, therefore that we are like children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. If the Rishon would be thinking of his own, that he's giving us mitzvahs for his own use and own purpose, then it wouldn't be such a terrible thing if we went against him. It would still be bad, not as bad. The Rishon is doing it for our good. It's a terrible avo that we're doing. He has kavana for us. He wants to do good for us, and it was basically slapping Cain Kaviyachol the Ribbono Shel Olam in the face. It's a murder gemara. I heard it secondhand. I heard it from the person who heard it directly from the person who went to Shem Zalman. There was a father and a mother. They had a child, a teenager, who was, I guess you call him a child at risk. And the father said, we gotta teach this kid, we gotta, you know, do whatever we gotta do, lay down the law no matter what, and do harsh things. And the mother said, no, you have to let him go. It's time, he has to learn on his own, he's not mature yet. So they had an argument for a long time, and they mustn't go to Shem Zalman. They walked into Shem Zalman and they sat down, they told Shem Zalman the whole story. Shem Zalman takes out a piece of his stationery, he writes down the date on the top, he writes the Choy, hey, Rav and Rebbetz and so and so. He says, Atem Peturim Mechinech Abonim. You are Potter from being Mechanech your children. He signs in the bottom Shem Zalman, he folds it up, gives it, puts it in an envelope and hands it to them. They open it up, they're about to ask him, what does that mean? Shem Zalman grabs the paper back, takes it, rips it up, throws it in the garbage, takes out a new piece of stationery, puts it down, takes his pen again, writes down the date again, L'choyz, Rebbe, Rebbetzin, so and so, and he writes, he says, Atem, Osir, L'chanech, Bonim. He signs his name, folds it up, and now they're just befuddled. They're like, what does that mean? Shem Zalman explained to them, if I'm going to teach someone how to use a piece of machinery, a car, anything, it's very simple to maybe to turn it on. But if you don't know how to turn it off, then you can't turn it on. I can't give you the keys to turn on the machine if you don't know how to turn it off, because it could be a problem. He was teaching them that Nechinech Habonim, you have to know when at a certain point you have to be quiet. You have to be quiet. You mask him to the wife. You have to know when to shut it off. You have to know when to Nechinech your children. You have to know when to not. We're all children at risk. There are Ribbono Shel Olam, there are times that people see that he gives us tremendous patch. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is harsh. It's because we're children of his, like we said from Shlomo Kluger. The reason why it's so harsh is because he loves us. And there are times that people could walk around thinking, things are good, Baruch Hashem. Everything is good. So I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to do tshuva. I don't have to worry about it. I did a churban beis hamikdash, but yeah, Baruch Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam is showering me with good. No. It's now we have Tisha B'Av coming. We have to think about it. We have to think about what our tafkid is. We have to realize that we're children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And no matter what, we have to do tshuva, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is the tzar that the Beis HaMikdash is not here. We should be zeichet to see the building of the Beis HaMikdash. M'heir b'yameinu, amen. And we're